Acts chapter number 2, I believe it is, yes. Acts chapter number 2. This is the first message that's being preached. Peter is doing the preaching. Very unlikely candidate to be doing the preaching. But how many's figured out in life that God uses unlikely candidates to accomplish His purposes and His will? I picked up on something. I was I had went off yesterday and left my Bible at home, but I have another Bible and it has very, very small print. And then I had a Bible, a hardback Bible that was one of Brother Jack's. It was just the New Testament and Psalms. And the print, I'm not joking, it has quarter-inch letters in it, Brother Ralph. You would love it. Amen. And I was laying there in bed reading last night before I went to bed, just still just praying and meditating and not sure what the Lord would have for the service. And I ran across something, and then I told the Lord, I read and I meditated a while, read a little more, and I told the Lord, I said, I want to look that up in the morning. So I got up and looked up the word this morning, and the Lord just began to stir in my heart in the message. If you will, I'd like to start reading with verse number 16. The Bible said here, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. You understand, they thought these people were drunk on the day of Pentecost. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, one of the things I feel like I need to mention is, people say, well, preacher, we're living in the last days. That's true. But I believe a better way to say it today would be we're living in the last of the last days. Because the last days actually began with Pentecost here, according to the Bible. And you say, well, preacher, that was 2,000 years ago. Remember, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That may seem like a long time to us, but in God's economy, beloved, it's not very long at all. The Bible said in verse 18, and all my servants and all my handmaids I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, if you'll notice, you have Pentecost and the tribulation right here just in a few verses. In other words, we're looking at the last days. We haven't seen that taking place yet where the sun's turned into darkness, the moon into blood, but we will. Actually, the church won't, but the world will. The church will be called out to go and meet the Lord in the air, and then the time of Jacob's trouble will begin here on the earth, the great tribulation. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter has a backbone. Peter's preaching to Jews. The Bible said the gospel was going to come to the Jew first, and also the Greek. You need to remember in the book of Acts, the Jews require a sign. And when you start out in the book of Acts, the gospel is being directed to the Jews. The Jews had already rejected God the Father. They had already rejected God the Son. And they're about to reject God the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And God's going to turn to the Gentile. Watch this now. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Boy, I tell you, there are a lot of people who say you can't even see Christ in the Old Testament. Man alive, they're missing it. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Watch this. This Jesus hath God raised up. How many of y'all believe that? Whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let me say this morning. Beloved, I thank God for the Apostle Peter. I thank God for a man with a spine that was willing to stand up right in the midst of them and speak the truth. Now watch verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Let me just say this today. God's been dealing with my heart about this text. This is one of the things we're missing today. Beloved, we need God, the Holy Ghost, to prick men, women, boys, and girls, not in their head, but in their heart. That's what the Bible is teaching here. They were pricked in the heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's something I learned. Beloved, listen, when the Holy Spirit gets to pricking in a person's heart, gets to sticking in a person's heart, you don't have to beg that person. That person's begging you. Tell me, what do I need to do? This is going on inside of me. Where? How can I get some relief from this conviction in my heart? Watch this now. The Bible said, then Peter said unto them, repent. That's a missing word in most pulpits today. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Now watch this. And to all that are afar off. You say, preacher, why did you stop there? Because thank God he included me. Thank God he included you. Yes, it was to the Jew first. But hallelujah, God saw even in these verses that the Gentiles would be included in the family of God. Watch this now. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, watch this, here's my text. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'll get back to that. That's what the Bible said. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Is that right? Is that Bible? Is that how it got started? You better believe it is. Amen. By the way, how the church got started is how the church ought to continue. Somebody help me. Amen. If preaching got it started, that's how we ought to continue. That's how we ought to finish up. No wonder Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. No wonder the Word of God, beloved. Listen, God don't call men to read the Reader's Digest. God calls men to preach the Word of God. And that's what we need in this generation. If you'll pray with me, I want to get started, examine this, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Brother Kevin, if you would, just stand, would you please, brother? Pray for me. Pray for this service. Ask God to have his way in our midst. Let's look here. This word, this is the word that stuck out to me. Perhaps you know better than pastor, but this word untoward, the Bible said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I never thought about the word before. I've seen the word froward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D in the scripture. Thank you, Jacob, buddy. I appreciate that, buddy. I want to preach this morning. I'd like for you to sit with Brother Gary and Miss Reba and listen to me. Would you please? Amen. Appreciate that, Jacob. I love you, buddy. Amen. This word, untoward. First of all, let me just say this. In the English language, it's only found one time in the Bible, right here where we read it, in the English language. But when you study the Bible, and I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, but I have a Bible program that will let you look for the same word that may be brought into the English language in a different word. It'll let you search for it. So four times in the Greek language, you find the same Greek word that is here interpreted untoward. Is everybody with me so far? Here's what it means. The Greek word is skolios. Skolios. I'm not sure about this, but in my mind, I believe it may even have something to do with that medical term when people are talking about the spine. I'm looking at Bobby, a nurse. There's a term where the spine is crooked. Is that not right, honey? And I believe this is probably where Brother Grizzle probably knows this too in the medical field. But I believe that's probably where they got that word to describe the spine. Here's what it means. It means warped. It means winding. It means perverse, crooked, froward, or untoward. Now you say, preacher, why are you preaching like this morning? Because God said in the first message that was ever preached, save yourself from this untoward generation, this crooked generation, this winding generation, this generation, beloved, that's perverse and that's warped. Are you listening to me this morning? In the very first message that God sends to the church of the living God, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Let me say this to you. Beloved, listen, there's something God spoke to my heart about, a lot of things. But one of the things I want to say before I go any further, you and I, as God's people, have a personal responsibility. We have a personal, we cannot do it all on our own, and I'll teach you that in the Word of God. But beloved, we have a responsibility. Peter stood up that day and said, hey, let me ask you something. If Peter uses that word in that day, crooked, warped, if he uses that word in that generation, how much more so? Are we crooked and warped? The Bible said that we might shine as lights in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation. Amen. I'm telling you how much more so. Listen to the other times that it's used. The Bible said in Luke 5:3, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. So in that verse, it was brought into the English language, crooked. In Acts 2:40 that we just read, many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, the same Greek word. In Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom you shine as light. The same Greek word, 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You say, preacher, why would Peter say that? Let me tell you something right now. Beloved, listen, if you've worked on a job, you know that everybody that's the boss on the job don't do the right thing. There's crooked people at the bank. There's crooked people at a gas station. There's crooked people running the factory sometimes. But God said you and I are to come under subjection if they're our boss. Ain't that what the Bible said? That's exactly what the Bible is teaching right there. And so, listen, this untoward, he said, save yourself from this untoward. In the Hebrew, Let me just give you this. I'm going back to the Old Testament now. Where do you get the word froward? It's interpreted different ways, but it comes from one Hebrew word. It's used 11 times in the Old Testament. It means distorted. It means hence false. It means crooked. It means froward. It means perverse. And so God's Old Testament word that my friend was used in the Greek in the New Testament comes out of these verses. Look at Deuteronomy. It said they corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse. They're perverse in a crooked generation. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. Psalm 18. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself a froward. The Bible said in Psalm 101, verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from thee. I will not know a wicked person. Proverbs 2:15, whose ways are crooked. And the forward in their paths. Wisdom. The Bible speaking of wisdom in Proverbs 8:8. It said, all the words of thy mouth, of my mouth, are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. The word perverse is the word for crooked. They that are froward, hard, are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 17:20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. He that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that keepeth his soul shall be far from them. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. You say, preacher, why are you mentioning this? The Bible in the first message gives a warning. Save yourselves. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Let me say this to you. Listen, we're living in a generation where children can be raised in a church like this, raised in Sunday school, raised under the preaching of the Word of God, and they go off to college. And what do? They sit under somebody that's crooked. They sit under somebody that's untoward. They sit under some professor that knows more than God knows. They sit under somebody that teaches them that you and I came from a monkey when we know better. I tell you, our children might act like monkeys sometimes, but they didn't come from a monkey. They came from God. God gave us our children, amen. And God said they're created in his image. They'll teach them that the Bible is not important. They'll teach them that, Brother John said in Sunday school, that the church is a joke and the church is a crutch and Jesus is a crutch. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the Bible said save yourselves from this untoward generation. You say, preacher, who is the young person that's going to survive that mess? I'll tell you, the one that takes it serious. The one, my friend, that says, hey, if the Bible says this and you say this, I'm sticking with the Bible. Amen. The one that's not, my friend, just leaning on mom, not just leaning on dad, not just leaning on pastor, but the one that's leaning on the everlasting arms and knows that Jesus would never lie to them. And would never lead them astray. What's the opposite of crooked? What's the opposite of crooked? I want the girls to think about this morning. Brother Kevin, you can tell them. The opposite of crooked, straight. They sang about it in the song. A way called straight. Hallelujah. Beloved, listen, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord and prepare his path. Aren't you glad, thank God, the world's crooked. It was crooked then, it's crooked now, but in the midst of it, there's a Savior. And John said, I'm making his way straight. Amen. It's narrow. All the way to the gate. Oh, beloved friend, every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Oh, glory, glory, glory. I'm telling you, in 1987, I was as crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. I couldn't straighten myself up. Hey, man, I couldn't straighten my life up. I couldn't quit anything. But hallelujah for a Savior that came where I was. us and spoke to my heart. And my friend, he's the one that gets the glory for making anybody straight in the midst of this crooked place that we live, the world. And the Bible said, he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. If God ever puts his hand on you, honey, he'll make you straight. Acts chapter 9, the Lord said unto him, Paul, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. He said, preacher, that's just a coincidence. No, I'm going to tell you what, Paul, God was going to use Paul to straighten a lot of us out. Say amen. And he was going to begin his journey on the street called Straight. And then the Bible said in Hebrews 12 and 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Well, I'm done with the introduction. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. The Bible said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a generation, beloved, that, listen, curseth their father, curses their mother. There's a generation, beloved, that don't see anything wrong with liquor. There's a generation that don't see anything wrong with pornography. There's a generation that don't see anything wrong, are you listening to me, with same-sex marriage. There's a generation that don't see anything wrong with anything because there's no standard. But the standard is still true. The standard is forever settled in heaven. And the standard is this blessed old book. And if God said it's wrong, it's still wrong. And if God said it's right, it's still right. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm going to tell you something right now. I love our young people. I love them. I love them good enough to tell them the truth. You leave that book, you get sitting under some professor. Somebody knows more than God. Somebody knows more than mom. Somebody knows more than dad. You lay that book over there to the side and you go with that professor. I'm telling you, you might not like what I'm about to say, but you're a fool. I'm telling you, mom and dad, we stop raising our children up in the way they should go. We're a fool. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's crooked out there. It's crooked out there. It always has been. It always will be. Till Jesus comes and straightens it out. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. We need this book. We need this preaching that Peter's given us. You say, preacher, how can a person save themselves from this untoward generation? Well, let me get to the message here this morning. I want you to notice four or five things quickly. First of all, notice the Christ. Well, notice what the Bible said in verse 22. In other words, it's got to start with Jesus. Honey, you start anywhere else, you're starting in the wrong place. It's a false start. If you start anywhere else, it's got to start with Jesus. Watch this now. In verse number 22, Peter said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man... What's the next word say? Let me just say this to you. Ain't nobody else ever been approved of God to be the Savior. He only approved one. His name is Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior. Only one that's approved of God. Only one that died for sin. Only one that rose again the third day. Only one that's coming back for you and for me. Only one. His name is Jesus. The Bible said here, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was a man approved of God, but in the foreknowledge of God, God knew who the Lamb was. The Lamb in the Old Testament, it would put off the sin from year to year. But thank God, John stepped out on the banks of the Jordan River one day and said, hey, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the one that's come so that you and I, who are crooked, could be made straight and could walk straight in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Oh, beloved friend, let me just say this to you this morning. We need to notice the Christ. Verse 24, whom Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible. The Bible said in verse 30, the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, beloved, Christ is of the seed of David. Are you listening to me? And David, when he was prophesying in Psalms, was not talking about David sitting at the right hand of God. He was talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Watch this now. You have to notice the Christ. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 32, Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses, being by the right hand of God exalted. Let me just say this. I didn't mean to say this in the message, but it's in the Bible. Listen to me. Brother John was talking about something this morning. And I'm not saying this to cross what Brother John said. I'm saying it to add to or to magnify what Brother John said. He was talking about missionaries. He was talking about a young missionary that was not long ago in our midst. I believe he's going to India, Brother John, if it's the one I'm thinking about, that had a great education, a medical field already nailed down, ready to go, and he stepped out. He married a wife. Instead of using like that one in the Bible, that as an excuse, he married a wife knowing that they were going to the field. But let me just say this. Brother John said he was comparing our faith. Now listen to me carefully. If God calls on you to go overseas, then by faith you better go or you'll be miserable. But let me just say this. I read this just now and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. He said, we're witnesses. How many's a witness? How many can say, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Well, let me give you something. Listen, I'm not going to be mean this morning. I'm going to give you something. This Bible teaches that when you and I tithe, that is a witness that God lives. You say, preacher, is that in that Bible? Yes, it is. You dare me about a half a time and I'll look it up. It's there. In other words, beloved, listen, it takes faith for that man to go. It takes faith for you and I to believe God that we're supposed to give a tithe of our income to God. Are you listening to me this morning? And the only way he can go is if somebody on this end has faith that will send him to where he needs to go. And they believe that. It's a witness that God lives. That's what it is when a person says, well, I made $100, 10 of it belongs to God. I made $1,000, 100 of it belongs to God. The Bible asks a question, will a man rob God? I'd hate to think, beloved, that I robbed God. I'm going to stand before him one day after a while. Listen, I didn't mean to say that, but I believe God wanted me to say that. He said, oh, we get excited. Yes, I'm a witness. Hallelujah. He lives in my heart. Does he live in your pocketbook? If he lives in your heart, he'll live in your pocketbook. You say, preacher, I ain't never heard you say anything like that before. Hang around, I might say it again. The Bible's the Bible. And beloved friend, it takes faith for a missionary to go, but it takes faith on the home front to send them into the field. Takes faith. We ought to do whatever God tells us to do. Let me move on. I felt a little bit of a lead balloon kind of come in there. That's all right. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want you to stand before God with your head hung down. Because all you ever learned how to do was tip God and you never learned how to tithe. God's not a waitress. God don't just want a tip. Somebody help me. God's worthy of our tithe. That's just a good place to start. Say amen. Abraham, Brother John, he gave tithes to Melchizedek. His faith was not just evidenced in the fact that he was willing to leave Ur of the Chaldees, but he was willing to give. Amen. Listen, he's alive. I pray to God that we would never fall into this crooked mess that's going on in this world. I pray to God that we would remember. Let me just say this. The Bible talks about the tithe. It's the Lord's. But let me just say this. When you get to thinking just right about your life, it's all his. I'm going to preach. Y'all with me? Last week, I was on the ladder, brother. I used to take a pressure washer and wash my house in 6 hours. I'd start in one place, Brother Rick, and go all the way around it in 6 hours. You say, why don't you do it in 6 hours anymore? Age. Arthritis. Help me. When I was up on the ladder last week, and listen to me carefully. I'm going to help you if you'll let me help you. I was up on the ladder last week washing the A's. Oh, I started on the back porch. I started up on the A, the high part, and washed my way down. That just makes common sense. The dirty water needs to run down. It don't need to run up. Amen. Anyway, I got up there. I got to washing the facer board. How many knows what PVC coated aluminum is? Looks like wood grain in it. Brother Gerald, I got to washing the facer board. And honey, the PVC got to peeling right off of it. I'm telling you, there was a time in my life when I would have blowed my lid over that. How many's with me this morning? There was a time. Listen, Sister Dana, the whole reason for putting vinyl in the overhangs, the whole reason for vinyl windows, wrapping them with aluminum, wrapping the columns, putting vinyl on the porches, Brother Thurman, the whole reason was I don't have to paint anymore. It'll be so much easier to maintain. And that's all good until the vinyl's going off in the yard in big white flakes. You say, preacher, you've lost it. No, I'm telling you. A tenth of what I have is not all that's God's. All of what I have is God's. I just have it borrowed. I'm just a steward. Those trucks, Brother Rose, with 1,000,000 miles on them, amen. I know it says Rose on the side of it, and I understand that, but I know that you understand, beloved. It's God's. It's a way that you can help missionaries. It's a way you can help the local church. It's a way you can feed your family. It's all God's. I didn't even tell Miss Eve, Bob, but I'm washing the vinyl now. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going somewhere. Hang on. John, I'm down on the side now on the vinyl. At least, Brother John, as soon as that peeled off like that, in my mind, I thought, well, I know a man with a break. I'll just break me some metal. Brother John, I think I'll just put it over it. That's the lazy man's way, amen. Just slap it over it, nail it up, and forget about it. I'm washing the vinyl now, and I come down. I didn't even tell Miss Eve, and I didn't mean to, because I didn't want to worry her. But now, on one of the pieces of vinyl, it just busted. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this, Brother Ted. When I put that stuff up there, I was looking to make it the rest of my days without ever having to do anything else except wash it. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I put it up 15 years ago, and it's already letting me know that in this crooked world that we live in, it ain't going to last forever. Even something that I thought I'll do it once and be done, I get to do some of it again. Go around front to the shutters. And I was thinking about Isaiah. He'd been in a basketball game this week. He should have had a football helmet on. Amen. But you take the pressure washer. Last time I pressure washed, I knocked some teeth out of the shutters. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in my younger days, I'm telling you, that would have run all over me, and I'd have got upset. But I tell you, the older I live, Brother Joe, the more I realize, honey, it ain't going to be long. It's going up in smoke. It's going to burn. I just got it borrowed for a little while. Just be happy you got a roof to live under. Just be happy you got something to eat. Just be happy you got clothes on your back. Just be happy in the Lord that you're redeemed and that you know Him. Most of the time, when I mention Brother John's name, it's negative. How many knows that? I'm picking at him most of the time. But not you, Brother Johnny, that John. There's Johnny and John and no John. There's more Johns around here than mess up a revival meeting, amen. Maybe a riot, but not a revival, amen. But Brother John's cutting some trees in his backyard. And I went over and volunteered. After all, I'm the master of cutting trees. That's what Nancy Pelosi said last week. She was a master negotiator. I wanted to vomit. You said that'll go on the internet, and I'd order to do it, amen, because when she said it, I wanted to vomit. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. I notched that tree, and his son-in-law, that'd be Henry's brother, I believe. Anyway, I call them sons, but his son-in-law cut it down. Now, how many knows that the tree's going to go where it was notched? It don't matter who cuts it down. Brother Rick, I didn't notch it right. I mean, it looked to me like just, Brother Mike, just right out there, buddy. It's going to lay out there in the yard. No problem. I didn't notch it right. I'm not blaming it on Dario. I'm blaming it on the man that notched it. That's me. And that tree went down. I pick it, Brother John. But I tell you what, I thought about this morning as I was preparing to preach. Sister Jennifer, that one of them limbs on that tree tore the gutter off the back of his house. Brother John looked at me and said, "That's all right, preacher. We've got it down, and I'll put a piece of gutter back." You remember that, Brother John? I remember it. Brother John, I felt real bad. You know that, don't you? I did. What if he had looked at me and said, "What's the matter with you? Why would you volunteer to do something you don't know how to do?" Honey's with me. Honey, mark her down. That vehicle you get in today is going to burn after a while. That house you go home to today is going to burn one day after a while. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's a witness. Thank God this world is all messed up. It ain't going to last long. And God said, Jesus is what we need to be concentrating on. The Lord Jesus. That's what we need to be concentrating on. Watch this. Not only do we notice the Christ, I got to hurry, but we notice the conviction. The Bible said here in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart." How many here can remember a day when God pricked you in your heart? Let me tell you something. If you've never been pricked in the heart, you've never been saved. It took the Spirit of God to show you that you were the sinner and Jesus was the Savior. I mean, he's glad he showed you were the sinner and he was the Savior. I noticed not only the Christ, that's how we can save ourselves from this untoward generation, but I noticed conviction. That's how we save ourselves from this untoward generation. Let me give you something else. Notice the call. Look at verse 39. "For the promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are far off, as many, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Let me give you this. Salvation is always initiated by the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, you don't have to. You have a right to be wrong. But the truth of the matter is, we weren't seeking after God. He came looking. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why you ended up at Bible Way. That's why you ended up where you could hear a Bible lesson, where you could hear about Jesus. It's because he was looking for you. Beloved, listen. There's children. I'm talking about little children. Landon and Amelia and Sawyer and the children everywhere. You say, "Preacher, why do you want to keep them around?" Because it's our prayer that one day, Olivia will hear Jesus say, "Olivia." Jesus, knowing him, he might even say like this, "Olivia, you're beautiful on the outside, but honey, what I'm seeing on the inside's ugly." How many knows the difference? Sin, that it might become exceeding sinful. The Bible said as many, you know what we're teaching in this generation? That you can call on the Lord without him calling on you. That's not true. He calls. Thank God he does. Thank God he knocks. Oh, hallelujah. The call of God. beloved friend, listen. We notice the call, but let's notice this, a couple things, and I'm done. Notice the choice. You see, now there's a choice to be made. I use the word choice because it alliterates with the message. But in our generation, Brother Thurman, the word decision is a lot more used. Now there's a choice. A lot of people want to put the choice right after Christ. No, there's Christ, conviction, a call. Now there's a choice. These fellows that are standing listening to Peter preach this day, beloved, there's no choice to be made when Peter starts out. But Peter gets up telling them about Jesus. You crucified him. God raised him from the dead. The Holy Ghost pricked them in their heart. Now they got to say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What should I do? That Philippian jailer. Beloved, I don't know what all he experienced that night. But he experienced enough to know that God was alive and well. And that them boys, Paul and Silas, had something that he needed. I don't know if he heard them praying. Brother Anthony, I don't know if he heard them praising God back there at midnight. I don't know about all that. But I do know this. When God shook the jail and the doors flew open, and the jailer ran in trembling. You say, preacher, why is he trembling? I'm not sure all why he's trembling, but one reason he's trembling, he's the jailer. The jailer is responsible for the prisoners, and if the prisoners get away, the jailer dies. That's enough to make any of us tremble. But it could be, I won't be dogmatic, but it could be he was already being pricked in his heart. Could be, Brother Ralph, he already said to one of his buddies, the way we beat them, the bloody mess that they're in. Can you believe they're back there praising God? Could be. But let me give you this. He came in and he said, sirs, he fell down. He's not got a question. What must I do to be saved? There's all kinds of ways you could word that. How do I escape this conviction? How do I escape hell? How do I make heaven my home? What do I have to do to get what you have? There's all kinds of ways you could word it. And I want to tell you something right now. The way it come out in the Bible is, what must I do to be saved? And the Word of God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I never have figured this out, but Paul said, and thy house. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. God wants the whole house to be saved. God don't want people in families busted up. He wants them all to come under the umbrella of grace and be saved by the grace of God. Let me give you something. The question came after the call. The question came after the conviction. The question came after Jesus was magnified. What must I do to be saved? Notice the choice. The Bible said in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. In other words, God didn't record the whole message, Brother Rose. But boy, he recorded enough of it, didn't he? And the Word of God said, what's the choice? He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Honey, you get baptized without receiving his word, without being born again, you'll bust hell wide open. You join the church without being born again, you'll bust hell wide open. You can read your Bible every day, but if you're not born again, you'll bust hell wide open. The Bible said they gladly received his word. They made a choice. They said, we want that Jesus. We need that Jesus. And they received that word. I'm going to tell you something right now. There ought to be a time, there ought to be a day, there ought to be a place. You may not be able to remember the date, but you ought to be able to take somebody to the spot where you made that choice. You ought to be able to remember in your mind. You didn't know the terms, and I didn't either. I didn't know what the word conviction meant. I didn't know that God had to call me. But honey, I went to church that night. I wasn't looking for him, but thank God Almighty, he come looking for me. I remember when he convinced me, I had a choice. You say, preacher, narrow that choice down for me, would you? Here you go. Jesus or hell. This Jesus that died, this Jesus that was buried, this Jesus that rose again, Jesus or hell. That was the choice that was put before me that night. Purgatory wasn't mentioned. Probably because it's not worth mentioning. That's part of the crooked. That's part of the untoward. Convincing people that they can die without God and enough people can pray and get them out. That's a lie out of hell. Convincing people if they get a little water sprinkled on them when they're a baby that they're all right. That's a lie out of hell. You can get dunked back there 10,000 times, but if you're not born again, you'll not make heaven your home. We must be born again. And let me give you this, the last thing, and I'm done. We've noticed the Christ. We've noticed the conviction. We've noticed the call. We've noticed the choice. How many's glad when he chose you, you chose him? How many knows what I just said? We do have a responsibility. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's what Peter said. You have a responsibility to respond to the call of God. The last thing I see in the text is the church. Let me tell you something. We're living in a generation. Brother Grizzle, they've gotten all crooked about the church. The church, you can take it or leave it. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, the pastor needs the church. According to the Bible, the deacons need the church. The Sunday school teachers need the church. Our children and our grandchildren need the church. Beloved, they started out here in fellowship. They started out here in unity. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. God allowed the church to have favor in the community. Read it right there in the message. I'm going to tell you something. God loves the church. God ordained the family, and God ordained the church. God did not intend for any of his children to be the Lone Ranger. He intended us to be a part of a local assembly that he called the church. He loves the church. Let me say this. A songwriter years ago, I don't know if I can remember it verbatim, but there was a line and it said, I'm in this church. I didn't join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. I'm for joining the local church, but joining without a birth will not help anybody. We ought to be much in prayer that God would add to the church. Here it is, such as should be saved. Saved. A lot of people are running from that word. It's a Bible word. Saved. Saved from hell. Saved by the blood of Jesus. Saved forever. Saved that we might magnify him. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Jesus, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to read after the Apostle Peter, where he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Lord, every way we look, There's crookedness. There's perverseness every way we look. God, I know that if the devil had his way, the crookedness and the perverseness would creep right into the church. That's why, Lord, that Jude said we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Lord, that faith includes Christ. That faith includes conviction. That faith includes a call. That faith includes a choice. And that faith includes the church. Thank you, God, for that faith. I pray, Lord, this morning, you'd help us as God's people. Help us, Lord. There may be people here today, Lord, been saved, been born again, need to be baptized. People here has been saved, born again, need to join the church. Maybe people here today has never been born again, that need to be saved. There may be people here today, Lord, that need to come to a place in their Christian life where their finances witness that God lives. There may be people here today, Lord, that are concentrating so much on the temporal that they're missing the eternal blessing. Thank you, God, for dealing with my heart this week. Thank you, God, for helping me to remember what's important in life.